Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence, Lord God. We've known for years that the church isn't a building, it isn't a place, it isn't something we go and do. It's us, that we're the living church. We're your representation here on earth, Lord God, and I thank you for this new way that you're giving us to experience that together. And Lord, I pray that today, while we hear the message, Lord God, that you would really move on our hearts, Lord, that you would increase faith in each one of us, Lord, that we would truly have fellowship with you, Lord God, like you want. Lord, as we have communion, we want to remember you and remember the things that you did on the cross and the way that you took our pain, you took our shame, just like we sang in that song earlier that the Smiths led for us, Lord God, that you took on all of that, Lord God, and you replaced it, Lord, with mercy and grace and your power, and you give us the Holy Spirit, Lord God, so we thank you for that, and I pray today that we would be encouraged and that we would know you in a deep and intimate way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, what's the meaning of the Lord's Supper? And, you know, how should it be observed? Those are just two of the questions I had at the top of starting this. And this has been another time just kind of interesting of things changing as I began. You know, we had just started doing Facebook Live services. We were still being able to meet at the church. We had a different plan for what was going to happen today. And then all of a sudden, you know, even on Monday, I took the day off on Monday to actually try to prepare to speak today. I normally take Fridays off, but something happened with my back and I wasn't even hardly able to stand up. And so I thought, well, I'll take Monday off instead of Friday. And then from that point, working on Monday, and then throughout the week, we get this new order put in place by the governor talking about shelter in place and further restrictions on how people are supposed to go about doing things. And it just kind of, it changes and disrupts the everything that you try to plan. But, you know, it's been kind of exciting to watch and to see and to, you know, to hopefully, you know, find new ways to engage with the Lord. And I think that's more than anything what the Lord gave me throughout this, that it's important and critical for us to stay engaged with Him. So here, the Lord Jesus, He established several sacraments, and one of them being communion or the Lord's Supper. The other was baptism, you know, and He talked, baptism was the thing you do at once. You know, the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to do it repeatedly in remembrance of Him. You know, baptism, it starts and it marks the beginning of your Christian life. And it's an example of, you know, I'm putting things away. So the sacrament is just simply a physical representation of a deeper spiritual thing that's taking place. And so today, with communion, we're sharing the body and the blood of Christ. It's a sacrament. We're taking physical objects and we're interacting with them, but there's a deeper spiritual understanding and a deeper spiritual engagement that's taking place in our lives with it. So how about our time apart? What's it been like for everybody? Has it been sad? Has it been discouraging? Has it been boring for you? What kind of changes have you had? I know some of you are working from home now. I worked from home my first day on Friday. It hadn't changed too much for me throughout. But, I mean, what's it been like? And how are we finding ourselves? Are we lonely? Are we discouraged? Are we, you know, things like that. How are we in our faith? Are we encouraging one another in our faith? That's really, really critical and important. We definitely need to be intentional about our relationships with one another. So something to do, I think, during this would be, how can we pray for each other? You know, be able to really connect with one another and ask each other, how can I pray for you? How can I encourage you today? Or, you know, even, you know, sharing, what's the Lord speaking, you know, in your life? You know, we're a prophetic people. We hear from the Lord in our time. We hear the things He's saying to us. And so sometimes it's up to us to share what He's saying and to, you know, to bring that into someone else's life and encourage them in the faith. So I just want to encourage you during this time to really make a point to do that. I really do believe that the Lord, He wants to do something revolutionary in the church through this time. And, you know, today we're going to be taking communion together. It takes effort and intentionality spiritually to do something like this, to stay engaged with one another. You know, we're a church. We have fellowship in our name, and you know, this is what we do. We gather together regularly, and our regular, you know, habits have been disrupted today. So since we're not able to physically do that, we've got a lot of voices in our ears these days too. I know this is the other thing, I think too, in this time where it's really unprecedented. You've got, you know, media on TV, you've got it on the radio, you've got social media in your hands, and everybody has got their own opinions about what's happening, how dangerous it is, you know, how we should be responding, and how those people are wrong and those people are right, and you know, and everybody's got their own opinion. But you know, something like this, whenever we, you know, were first in the hospital after Artis was born, Pastor Brian came, and, you know, we'd heard all kinds of opinions. We'd seen a lot of specialists. We'd seen a lot of different people, and everybody had their opinion about the situation. But he just kind of quieted things down, and he said to us, "We've heard the word of everybody else. Let's wait and let's listen for the word of the Lord." And I think that's something that we need to do in this time. It's really important to quiet our hearts and just to listen for the word of the Lord. He's the one, he's sovereign, and he knows what's happening. He knows why this is happening, and he has a plan through it all. And his plan is to prosper us, to grow us, to make us like him, to conform us to his image. You know, we're here to be imitators of Christ. And so I think in some ways this disruption allows us in a new way to understand that and to experience that. So let's be really forward, looking for a different word right now, but about seeking the Lord for his voice and his word. So, I mean, hearing his voice, it comes from really cultivating a lifestyle of seeking him. It comes from making a space to do it, a physical space. And so here again, maybe with, you know, the disruption of schedule and things like that, your physical space is changed. Maybe, you know, you're used to getting in your car and driving to work and having that time with the Lord on the road with your radio, or, you know, maybe it's just a quiet time, whatever it is, but you've got this, you know, change now, this dynamic shift. Are we still finding time to spend with the Lord in that? You know, now maybe you're at home and you've got to find that quiet place, you know, not just getting up and getting straight into the responsibilities of your day, but to really seek the Lord and to know his will, to hear his voice and his direction. So Romans 10:17 says that faith, and that's our first verse, if we can slide that over, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And that's it. We've got to make sure that we're in that place of hearing the message that Christ has for us. You know, it's in the Word of God, and it's in that time of prayer and spending with Him. So what's the Lord speaking to you during this time? I'd encourage you to share what the Lord's speaking with one another. And if I know a lot of you are already doing this, that's wonderful, but I just want to encourage us to continue it on. So yeah, like I said a minute ago, we have the word fellowship in our name. So what does it mean to fellowship? What does it mean? I mean, I think a lot of times we have this idea that fellowship, and we're fellowship, and we're hanging out, we're having a pizza together, we're enjoying some time, and I like that as much as anybody else, just to kind of, you know, gather together, have fun, you know, without, you know, a big agenda or anything to do. But it's more than that. Fellowship is more than just hanging out. And you know, the dictionary definition is basically giving, you know, the definition that it's an association with people of the same interests. Well, you know, that's a simple definition, but we have something, it's an association of transformation for us. We've been transformed by the blood of Christ, and so our fellowship is through him. Our fellowship is in his sufferings. He made a way for us to be saved and reconciled, and so that's our fellowship. That's the foundation of what we do together as a church. So here the next verse, you know, talking about this is 1 John 1:7. It says, "If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin." So again, it's more than just this common interest and this, you know, it's this bond of knowing Christ. It's this bond of fellowshipping and experiencing Him. We've had our lives impacted and changed by the work that He's done on the cross for us. So it's more than just spending time together. The source of our fellowship with one another, and it's the shed blood of Jesus that makes it possible for us to be cleansed from sin. In the Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, there is a theme. And the theme, well, there's several themes, of course, and I'm sure any scholars out there, you know, will know this. But I'm talking about one theme of fellowship today. There is a theme of fellowship, and he wants people to fellowship with Himself. He wants to be close with His created people. He wants us to know Him. He wants to know us. And so He's created a way. When sin came and got in the way and people fell away, He made a way. That was the blood of Christ. And today we're celebrating that. The Lord's Supper allows us to eat and to drink in the presence of the Lord. So we want to experience a more vivid sense of God's presence when we participate together in communion. So the meaning of the Lord's Supper, it's rich, it's complex, and there's a lot going on in it. And I'm certain that I'm not going to exhaustively be able to tell you everything that happens, because it's a deep mystery. It's an incredible thing that the Lord does to give us the opportunity to experience Him in this way. So when we participate in it, it gives us a picture of His death for us. And it shows us the breaking of His body and the pouring out of His blood for us. That's what we're seeing, and that's what we're remembering. It's not, you know, it's not just a story. This is history. This is a real thing that took place, a real transformational, pivotal time in history where God changed everything. This is the new covenant. And then the next verse is 1 Corinthians 11:26. He says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So in doing this, we're proclaiming His death until He comes. Why? Why do we proclaim His death? I mean, what does it mean to do that? What does that mean? So it's a profession of our faith. We take the emblems of His broken body and the blood that He spilled, and we acknowledge what He did for us and the way that He took our place on the cross. He paid the price in full for our sin, and He gave us a way to be reconciled. So we're celebrating that. We're remembering that until He returns. We proclaim the Lord's death. It's a proclamation. Jesus Christ took my place. Jesus Christ filled the void that was there between man and the Father, between me and God. And so we're participating here in what He did for us. We experience the benefits of Christ's death. Jesus says, "Take and eat. This is my body." It's a symbol that we're taking on the benefits of Christ's death unto ourselves. We're sharing in the benefits of His death that are brought about for us and the forgiveness of sins. And it reminds us that by accepting Jesus, we're born again, a new creation, something that's never been before. So, I mean, if you're out there listening and you haven't been born again, He's there for you. If you've fallen away and you feel like, "I've gone too far, I can never come back," that's a lie. You can. The Lord has forgiveness for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for each one of us, for you. And that sin that you've committed that may seem just too much, He can forgive it. And He wants to. So please see somebody. If, you know, private message somebody, call somebody you know, call Aaron or myself anytime if you want to talk about the gospel. I'm putting that out there for you, Aaron. Anytime, 4 a.m, he's happy to talk about salvation and the transformation, that eternal life, you know. I'm available for that too. I may be groggy at that time of the morning, but I would love to talk to you about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So there's the gospel. It's for everyone. It's not just, "Oh, it's for some, but I'm too far gone." That's not true. It's for you too. And so, but, you know, today, communion, the celebration of Christ's body and His blood, it is for believers. So if you're not a believer today, I want you to be a believer. Jesus wants you to be a believer. It's important. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. The times are strange. It's a great opportunity to say, you know what? It's time for me to reconcile my life with the Lord. And that's it. He does the work. It's not something where you've got to go and go out of your way. And now I got to get everything right. And I've got to put everything into place. And I got to stop this and stop that and start this and start that. He does the work. All it is a point of faith. Of us taking that moment to say, you know what, I surrender, Lord. I surrender to you, and I want you to take my life and make it like you. So the way here that Jesus first instituted the Lord's Supper is he's with his disciples. They're in the upper room. He knows he's about to die, and there's this thing that's taking place. They're having dinner together. They're fellowshipping. You know, they're learning about him. They love him. I mean, I'm sure that he was somebody who you just wanted to be around all the time. He's like, boy, I really want to hang out with Jesus. You know, so here they are. They're having dinner with him. But there is one scoundrel at the table who's already betrayed Jesus. And during this time, I know in one of the other messages I got to speak about this, but Jesus is reaching out to him. And I think that even in that time, he's like, it doesn't have to be you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and this has to happen. But it doesn't have to be you, Judas. There's forgiveness. Step back. Let's change things. Let's change the course of history. But Judas didn't receive the forgiveness that was there for him. He walked away from it, and he did his own thing. So here in this, they're having dinner together, and Jesus, he broke the bread, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he told them to eat. This is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my blood of the covenant. Here, Jesus is the focus of communion and what we're doing. That's why we do it, because he's the focus. We want to focus in on him. Our fellowship revolves around the person of Jesus Christ and growing to be more like him. He says, do this. That's like it's a physical action, eating and drinking. Do this in remembrance of me. Continue to do this. You know, it's the present tense. It's do this. Continue to do this. It's not just for them at that time. It is for us as believers for all time to continue to do this, to remember what he's done. And so there's something that takes place in us as we continue to do this. So in remembrance of me, this mental action is what's taking place here. We're remembering that we must direct our minds back in history to Jesus Christ, back to the man on a cross, the man who lived the perfect life, who showed us the way to be holy. He gives us his own spirit, and we take on his holiness. We take on his righteousness. He's the one that makes it possible for us. So we're remembering him in a different way during that time. So he wants us to remember his life and the way that he showed us how to live, his death and his resurrection. Next week is Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I think this is a really timely message here, and we're having communion together. But I think also just the point of bringing about what fellowship is and what Jesus intended, you know, even while we're spread apart. I think this is going to be just a great opportunity for us as a church. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. I do pray that we would be a people who continually remember what you've done. I ask, Lord God, that you would transform us each and every day to be more like you. Lord, that we would be fully reconciled and like the way you want us to be. Lord, I pray that that we would never be like Judas, who threw away that forgiveness, Lord, but that we would be people who run to your presence, Lord God. Bless this time, bless this church, Lord, as we're apart. I pray that you would grow us in fellowship with one another. Lord, I pray that this would strengthen the bonds while we're apart, that we would have deeper intimacy with you, Lord, and stronger relations with one another, Lord God. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this time of change in this season where you're doing something different. Lord, we ask that you would eradicate this coronavirus from our planet, Lord God. I pray that you would supernaturally remove it, Lord, that you would protect your people, Lord, and that you would bring about many salvations through this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to finalize this with a scripture verse, a benediction, if you would. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have a wonderful week, and make sure to just reach out to one another, encourage one another. You know, think about two or three people, each person, and just reach out. Call somebody, text somebody today, and encourage them. I hope you all have a wonderful day. God bless you. Goodbye.